You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to hour number two, folks. Hope you enjoyed intermission. We are kicking off Act Two here on Nightlight. We had a great hour one. We started the show with a conversation about eggs somehow. Conrad can eat eggs.
I love eggs.
It's kind of bizarre. So it's unsettling, his love for eggs. We also have a great question tonight. What is your favorite patriotic movie or song as we head into the 4th of July? We will read your text in just a bit. We have a few more minutes with our current guest, Matt Miller, at 7:35. Wendy Schneider, filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider, will be here talking about a screening of her film, The Smart Studio Story, at the brand new, beautiful Atwood Music Hall in Madison. That's at 7:35. And as I mentioned earlier, we will be off tomorrow, Friday, and Monday, folks. But we do have content. We put together some fun shows over that break. I will be back live Tuesday. Conrad will be back Wednesday, unless he decides to enlist in the military or something like that.
I think it will.
Peace Corps, whatever. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our current guest and our friend Matt Miller, who joins us over the stream from his beloved Milwaukee. Matt, I don't even know where to jump in here, so I'm just going to let you have the floor and talk about this show you seem to love. I've seen your social media posts. I'm talking about, of course, HBO's The Pitt.
Yes, HBO Max's The Pitt. I have 6 months late finally jumped on the bandwagon. It's tremendous. It's very good TV, and it's really fun because we've been watching it. My wife and I watch The Pitt. And then Grey's Anatomy is like our falling asleep television. And it's just fascinating watching the difference between the two, where The Pitt is just so the storylines are not that far off. There is not that much like not that, that's not entirely true. There's a lot less ethical dilemmas on The Pitt. But they handle things, but it's just so much more grounded and so much more realistic, The Pitt. And I've just really enjoyed its premise that it's taking you through a day in this hospital, essentially.
Yeah.
That each episode is kind of 24 style, an hour in there. I think it's really well done. It is kind of, you know, competence porn in a way, where it's just watching people who are good at what they do and good at their jobs try to do their jobs well, which is just very satisfying to watch on some level. We're about two-thirds of the way through this first season. And yeah, it's really scratching that TV itch. You know, it also doesn't have the problem of modern prestige television where it's like, you know, it's clearly a movie stretched out across 12
right.
hours. It's like, this is episodic television and I've been really enjoying it. And I've really enjoyed having Noah Wiley back on my screen. Yeah, makes me excited to rewatch ER. It's been a long time since I've revisited that show. So yeah, I highly recommend The Pitt. I will be the 157th person to tell you that The Pitt is worth your time.
Well, everybody talks about how intense it was, and that was a great comp, I think, with 24, because every episode is an hour of this day. And
yeah.
I watched the first one just because I wanted to have a sense of it. And I did like it. I don't typically like medical dramas, but I'm to the point with The Pitt where I just have to watch it because I've just heard way too many good things. It'll probably get nominated for a lot of Emmys. So I think I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah, I really like that, you know, it for the most part, it feels like a show that is like, you know what, working in a hospital is dramatic enough. We don't need to add in a lot of kind of soap opera storylines and stuff like that. Trying to get through a day at a busy, you know, metropolis ER is very, very stressful to begin
yeah.
with and very tense. And even if their case is just like, you know, person fell off a ladder. You know, the stakes can still feel big without it being like, this is the 14th time we've cured an uncurable tumor this season on Grey's Anatomy, which is where we're at on the show right now.
So let me ask you, this, in terms of other medical dramas, like it's the same team basically with Noah Wiley and John Wells that are behind The Pit, that were behind ER. You've got Chicago Med, you mentioned Grey's Anatomy. What makes The Pit better than those network shows?
It's very grounded. It doesn't feel as, I mean, Grey's Anatomy is a soap opera. It's not a medical show. And it feels much more down to, I watch it with my wife, who is a veterinarian, and she is diagnosing stuff alongside the show, which tells me that their science and their medicine knowledge is pretty good. And that's not to say that accuracy is what makes it great, but it feels real. It doesn't feel like they're pushing too hard down on the drama meter for the most part. There's a few storylines that I'm like, okay, this is maybe a little much, but I mean, it's a 15-hour TV show. They're not all like, you know, with a lot of subplots. That's the other thing I find impressive about it. It weaves in so many different storylines because you're dealing with a hospital ER that is bringing people in and out and in and out. And yet it juggles all of these elements so well that you kind of know what every case is. I really enjoy it. I know my wife is really enjoying it. Everyone I know is enjoying it. And everyone I know is right. It is a good show.
My guest is Matt Miller. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic. He joins us here from time to time on Nightlight to discuss movies and TV. It is one of those shows, Matt, I will say, when I watched the first episode, you get sucked into the world and you're like, most of the fun I've had in my adult life has either been on a movie set or doing something where I love it so much I don't want to sleep. Not that working in an ER is like that, but it's one of those things where it's so intense, you feel alive when you do it. And that is the vibe they give the viewer, which is really impressive. You know,
yeah, without a lot of the showy prestige TV things of like, oh, the big oneers and stuff like that, or like the big show offy technical stuff. Like, I think people are souring on The Bear this new season because The Bear is kind of the classic case of kind of empty calories prestige TV, where it's got all the music drops and all the fancy camera and editing stuff and all the big performances. And people are like, but what's in the show? Like, what am I getting out of this? Am I laughing that much? Am I feeling that much drama? Are we just recycling old, like, leftover plot lines? Whereas, you know, The Pit has a bit of excitement to it. It is kind of, you know, meat and potatoes television in a way, done really well. And hopefully it doesn't do what happened to ER back in the day, where I don't know if you remember, but I feel like by season 7 of ER, it was like a plane crashed in downtown Chicago and a tank is driving down the streets and someone's arm has been cut off by a helicopter again. And it's like they had so many, they kind of became Grey's Anatomy, where it was like every episode had to become a very special episode where, you know, something insane happened in the hospital. And hopefully it avoids that kind of, you know, excessive drama and just sticks with the low stakes of, oh my gosh, this person has, you know, this person is having a bad reaction to this medication. What should we do?
Matt, let's pivot here and go to upcoming movies. I know Jurassic Park opens today, but we've got someone on the text line. Chris from the 608 says, what are your thoughts on the remake of The Toxic Avenger? I really don't know anything about that. Do you?
Yeah, so they're remaking this old trauma, kind of super grisly, R-rated, kind of, you know, gross comic. I believe it's based on a comic book character, but The Toxic Avenger. And it's directed by, what's his name, who was in Green Room, and he was in Oppenheimer. I'm forgetting his name, but I'm really excited about it. It has been unrated. They are going all out on the gore and on the violence and on the kind of campy tone that is kind of perfect for this kind of story. The lead actor is played by Peter Dinklage, who's a very good actor. Very excited to see that. It feels like everyone's heart is in the right place with this Toxic Avenger remake that they're doing, where, you know, this isn't, you know, Hollywood being like, I don't know, can we make a blockbuster out of Toxic Avenger? This feels like people who really love the Toxic Avenger character and love the kind of, you know, not grisly, but kind of cartoonishly violent world of the Toxic Avenger and that kind of trauma world, and they want to bring it to a new audience. And hopefully people show up for it. I'm more excited for it than I am for, like, Terrifier, which I think Terrifier is terrible. I'm much more excited for something like Toxic Avenger.
There you go, Chris. That's a pretty good answer. Thank you for the text. And the first one, I just looked up on Rotten Tomatoes, 92%. That's pretty good. So what are you hearing about the latest Jurassic Park, Matt? This could be the biggest film of the summer. It's reviewing kind of mediocre, but what have you heard?
Yeah, first of all, just like Macon Blair is the name of the director. Oh, okay. I couldn't remember in the last segment. Make sure to check out Green Room and Oppenheimer if you haven't already. Bad is what I've heard about Jurassic World Rebirth.
That's a hell of a segue. Question,
I think the most complimentary thing I've heard about it so far, and I haven't seen it for myself. I'm hoping to check it out tonight or tomorrow for sure. But all I've heard is that it's like at best fine, at best functional, at best dinosaurs on the big screen. At worst, it's just kind of boring, which is kind of sad to me because I like everyone involved with this movie,
yeah,
including dinosaurs. I love dinosaurs. Same. I want to be excited. And I think it says a lot about this Jurassic Park movie that I've seen all these commercials and I'm still waiting for the hook. I'm still waiting for the thing about this movie that made it necessary to bring to the big screen. What is the exciting thing that makes this one different from any other Jurassic Park movie? And there's been nothing yet. There's been no interesting hook to it. And I think you're seeing that reflected in a lot of the reviews. And I think it's sad. It is very sad that we are in a place that Jurassic World, the 2015 Colin Trevorrow one that kind of started this new era of Jurassic World, not a good movie, but that's probably the second best Jurassic Park movie. Huh. There are far more bad Jurassic Park movies than there are good Jurassic Park movies at this point. Yeah, and it doesn't sound like this new one is going to switch that around. But hopefully these reviews are wrong. Hopefully, I mean, listen, I grew up loving dinosaurs. There's nothing I want to see more on a big screen than dinosaurs. So maybe that baseline element will get people excited. And I'm sure it'll do well this weekend. It's still a Jurassic World movie, still a big blockbuster with Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali. But I don't know. Like, are dinosaurs enough to sustain, you know?
It bothers me that you have a built-in thing like dinosaurs. A base level, that's interesting enough. And you can't, of the seven films that they've made, two of them have been fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. They're not great movies. And you're blowing it because you've got dinosaurs. I just did my classic movie pick of the week. The movie The Doors. Not a phenomenal movie, but with the soundtrack elevates it. You know, you've got this built-in whatever it is, soundtrack, actor, autobiography. You have dinosaurs and you can't seem to crush the franchise. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, it that's what it is. It's frustrating. And the director is Gareth Edwards, who is a really interesting director. He did Rogue One. He did Godzilla. Mm. He did The Creator, the original sci-fi movie that came out 2 years ago. I want to love his movies because I think what he does with CGI and with scale in his movies, the way he makes big things feel huge and small, like the way he makes human, like I don't love his Godzilla movie, but I love how big Godzilla feels in that movie. Yeah. He feels like he has weight. He's not just a CGI thing. I love how big the Death Star feels in Rogue One. And it sounds like none of that got into this movie. And dinosaurs should be a perfect example of making something feel big and humble before it on the big screen. And again, like maybe all the reviews are totally barking up the wrong tree. Maybe everyone was just in a real mood when they saw this one. And we will be proven wrong or right. But the buzz right now is really bad. It has to be better than the last one, though, because literally the last one had like no dinosaurs and was about locusts. And that to me is unforgivable that you make a Jurassic World movie more focused on locusts than dinosaurs.
I love when you get going, and so much so I'm going to keep you through one more short break. We're coming right back, folks.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. July 2nd, we are heading into the weekend. Matt, it's so funny. I just got your text, and you got going on such a rant. I was going to let you go, but I'm like, no, I got to let him go, and we'll come back and say goodbye. But before we say goodbye, what are you doing with the Admirals? You said in a text you're hosting some stuff. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, so there's the Gruber Sport Zone at Summerfest, and the Admirals, I believe, for most of Summerfest, from 4 to 5, they take it over. They do some fun games. If you can put up with their loudmouth host on Saturday from 4 to 5, we're going to play some fun games. You get to find out about the Admirals, burn off some of those Saz's sampler platters, playing some fun hockey games. We have a really good time.
That's fantastic. Buddy, thank you as always. This is so much fun to talk movies
with
you.
Thank you for letting me rant about a movie I haven't seen yet.
Dude, no. I love your passion for what you do.
I will text you as soon as I see the new movie, and if I like it, I'm going to be like, you got to have me on as soon as possible.
Absolutely. I will do the same, sir. Thank you very much, Matt. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Pete.
All right, anytime. That's Matt Miller, folks. Check out A Man About Film, his Substack. Matt does great work there, and he's always so much fun to have here on Nightlight. So our question of the night, folks, Wendy Schneider, by the way, coming up at 7:35. We're going to talk about her movie, her documentary she did about Steve Marker and Butch Vig called The Smart Studio Story. Just a great music doc. That won a host of awards at film festivals about 10 years ago. They're showing it at the Atwood Music Hall, the brand new, beautiful facility right there in Madison. Wendy will be there screening the film a week from tonight. We'll talk about the film a little bit and maybe give you guys something to look for if you're looking for a good music doc. Wendy's very talented and always fun to talk to. Our question of the night was, what was your favorite patriotic movie or song? And I said The Sandlot, and I said Born in the USA. Conrad said Born in the USA. And what was your movie again?
Hacksaw Ridge.
Hacksaw Ridge, yes. So we've got some great texts. Keep them coming, folks. We still got time to read these on the air. Conrad's mom checks in, and I knew we were going to hear about this one. Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA. That's another famous one. Thank you, Paula. And then Dave also checking in on the stream again says, courtesy of Red, White, and Blue, Toby Keith. I gotta be honest. I don't know much Toby Keith music. Are you a country fan?
Not really.
I don't know much about him. My sister, I know, told me there was a great place in LA called Casa Vega. They have the best margaritas I've ever had. And I used to go there and I miss it terribly. But my sister Julie was there one night and she hung out with Toby Keith and said he was really cool. He was in a booth sucking down margaritas. She said he was a pretty cool guy. I don't know anything about him, but thank you, Dave, again, as always, sir, for the stream comments. Going to the text line, Anna from Madison says, my favorite patriotic movie is Saving Private Ryan. Several years ago, I visited the cemetery in France that is in the movie. I think she's talking about, I think that's the final scene where Tom Hanks is talking to one of the brothers. I can't remember. It's been so long since I've seen the movie. I can't watch war movies over and over. I can't quote them like I can, like Caddyshack or Stripes, you know. Who was it that said Stripes? 715 said Stripes. That was a great patriotic movie. Our pal Aaron Zommers texting from the 920, even though he's in Madison. What kind of scam do you think Zommers is pulling there? You think he drove to Green Bay just to get a cell phone package, even though he lives in Madison? That's so subversive.
That's what my parents did. That's why they still got the 920.
That's right. Aaron says, National Treasure is patriotic, right? You love that movie?
Correct. It's patriotic.
Okay, fair enough.
Correct. It talks all about the Declaration of Independence and all the correct history about it.
Through the eyes of a mummy. No, that's the mummy.
That's a different movie.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Great text, Aaron. Thank you. Steve, Conrad's dad checking in, Band of Brothers, and Pacific. What's Pacific? I haven't seen that.
I don't.
War flick?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've seen
it. Let's go to the IMDb. Pacific. Oh, of course I spelled it. Pacifiophic. Pacific Rim, Pacific Heights, Pacific Blue, Union Pacific, The Pacific. I'll just take your dad's word that that's a great, great patriotic movie. Thank you, Steve. 414 says it's Jason from West Allis. A Real American from Rick Derringer is my pick for patriotic song. I don't know that song, but thank you, Rick. Thank you for weighing in from the 414. Always looking for a good new patriotic song. Bridget from the 818 says, Peg's favorite, I think that's Bridget's mom, says, Peg's patriotic song, God Bless America. Mine is, This Land Is Your Land. Yes! Mr. Guthrie, how did I forget This Land Is Your Land? That's one of my all-time favorite songs. Great one, Bridget. Thank you. Bridget said something the other day, too, that I totally agreed with. Chris Sheridan from Janesville checks in on the text line and says, what are your, we already read that. That was, what are your thoughts? How cool was it that Matt knew exactly everything about the Toxic Avenger? And I wasn't surprised. Hey, we've got a clip, Airplane drop today, folks. This is the anniversary of the dropping of the movie Airplane. I shouldn't say that when I'm talking about an airplane, the dropping. But this is one of my favorite exchanges. Do you have the one of Leslie Nielsen? It's about 45 seconds long. I sent it to you. He's talking to the pilot.
Roger?
It's not Roger, Roger, Vector, Victor. It's the other one.
Oh, this we'll one's about a minute. There.
All right, let's play that. This is a great scene from Airplane.
You'd better tell the captain. We've got to land as soon as we can. This woman has to be gotten to a hospital.
A hospital? What is it?
It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now. What flying experience have you had?
I flew single-engine fighters in the Air Force, but this plane has four engines. It's an entirely different kind of flying, altogether.
It's an entirely different kind of flying.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean I'm just not sure.
But can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a cap, or a brooch, a pterodactyl.
Excuse me, sir. There's been a little problem in the cockpit.
The cockpit? What is it?
It's the little room in the front of the plane where the pilots sit. That's not important right now.
I forgot there was like TikTok music under that. We're coming right back, folks, with Wendy Schneider, the director and producer of The Smart Studio Story. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die.
Friday, right? Long weekend.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it.
Gearing up. Burning a couple vacation days. That's what we do here. Great to have you with me, folks. This is a fun pre-holiday show we're having here tonight. It was fun to talk with Matt Miller. I'll read some more of your texts coming up in just a moment. If you still want to get in on the fun, you can. What is your favorite patriotic movie or song? That is tonight's Nightlight question of the night. And we are expecting Wendy Schneider to join us momentarily. Did we reach out to her? Oh, okay. Is she coming on the stream or phone?
In stream.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll wait for Wendy, and in the meantime, we'll talk and have a swell time. Going to let's finish up some stream texts here. Joseph Wolf on the stream says, patriotic film, Born on the 4th of July, 1989, Tom Cruise. Awesome one. Dave also has Tropic Thunder. Tropic Thunder should probably be one of my, like, one of those films I can quote over and over, but I think I saw it once and I've seen like some highlights and that's it. But I feel like I should know that movie better than I do. Going to the text line, did you see Tropic Thunder?
Yeah, I did a while ago. But I mean, it's hilarious.
Oh, very funny.
Patriotic?
Well, it's a war film. Kind of.
It's a
parody of a film.
It's them in the actual like war, but like not knowing they are because they think it's a movie. But it's not actually
right.
A movie.
That's true. Here we go. Wendy Schneider, she's reaching out to me. What is Wendy's in and waiting? Do we have her? No. That's terrible. Let me say something, Conrad, while I text her back.
Well, hello.
We don't see you. Well, let's get Wendy in here soon. I am so excited to talk about this movie. And like I said before, we'll get Wendy. I just asked her for her phone number, Conrad, so we may have to call her. But I was able to host a Q&A with Wendy and Butch Vig and Steve Marker at the Barrymore Theater years ago in Madison when the film played the Wisconsin Film Festival. And it was so much fun. And hearing Wendy talk about her experience working with Butch Vig and Steve, who are legendary music producers and incredible musicians, was fun. But it was also fun to hear Butch Vig and Steve Marker talk about their experiences working with bands like Nirvana and the Smashing Pumpkins, and I want to say it was Soundgarden, and all these great Wisconsin bands that Butch worked with. I think he was part of the band Spooner and Killdozer, one of my most... This is a song, Lupus is a song I could not get out of my head. The first time I heard it, it was in my head. It has this like really grinding beat to it. And it's so great. And I couldn't get it out of my head. So Butch and Steve both have relationships with so many Wisconsin bands, like our pal Frank Anderson does, playing with these guys on a lot of their records over the years. So we'll see how we can get Wendy to join the show at some point. We'll do that. But let's go to the text line in the meantime. Tom from New Berlin says, thanks, guys. Classic Airplane. Absolutely, classic. Tom. And I'm sorry for the, it was a TikTok video. I meant to find the equivalent of that, but we had to play the TikTok video with the music on behind it. But, it didn't affect the clip, really. 608 says, U.S. Blues, The Grateful Dead. We played this at our 4th of July block party for about 20 years. Huh. U.S. Blues, The Grateful Dead. I don't know. Are your folks Grateful Dead fans?
No.
I couldn't do it either. I like some of their stuff, but I'm not like a deadhead, so to speak. I wonder where Wendy is on the Grateful Dead. We'll have to ask her. I hope I'm saying this right. 608, Ryan, R-Y-N, or Rin, Ryan, I would assume it is. Song, The American in Me. Artist, Steve Forbert. Steve Forbert. God, that's a name I haven't heard in so long. What was his band name? I think he was part of a... Wow, he was in a great band, and it's totally slipping my mind right now. I will find that out and for my own curiosities. Thank you, Ryan, for the text. Everett in Sun Prairie says, Pete, I was going to say Stripes, but 715 beat me to it. So The American President is my answer. Oh, that's a good one. Great Rob Reiner film with a fantastic cast. Makes me wistful for better days. Song, Living in America by James Brown. Great one. By the way, I Am a Real American is Hulk Hogan's walk-up song. Oh, okay. Where is Rich LoCascio when you need him? He says, also super pumped for Toxie. That's slang for Toxic Avenger, Conrad. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't.
I'm just making the leap. I assume it is. I really have no idea. The American in Me. Great. That's awesome. Thank you, Rin. Thank you, Everett. And Anna from Madison, she's in the 608, says, hi, Pete, again. Favorite patriotic song is The Star-Spangled Banner by Jimi Hendrix that he played at Woodstock. That's a great one, too. I think mine has got to be Ray Charles, Oh, Beautiful for Spacious Skies. America the Beautiful from Sandlot. So I would have to probably, I think I'm going to stick with that, even though I've heard some good ones here tonight. Jameson from the 814 in Pennsylvania says, I'm just tuning in. Might have been said, Conrad, you read this one for me, and I'll text you Wendy's number. We got to get one.
All right. Here. The movie isn't worth it, but in Independence Day, Bill Pullman's speech, Will Smith punching an alien, Welcome to Earth, and Randy Quaid flying into the butthole of the alien
Is
ship.
Is that what he wrote?
Yeah. Giving them their own probe, but horrible goal. Also, thanks for Butch Vig's info. Cannot wait to see it. 1,000%.
I'm not kidding, Jameson. This is, and we'll find out. We're going to get Wendy here in just a second. We'll find out where you can stream that because it is a great watch. It is one of the best music documentaries I've ever seen. And I love that they're homegrown guys right here from Wisconsin. And Wendy is actually a transplant. She is a New Yorker, but has warmed up quite well to Madison. And, she made a great film, and she also made another one, Angels of Dirt. We'll figure out where we can find that one, too, because that's a really, really good film she made about a young girl who, it's kind of a tragic story, but it's about girls motocross, and her story about how she found that documentary or that idea is interesting, too. But for tonight, I think we'll stick with the Smart Studio story. Oh, we have Wendy. Oh, perfect. Hey, Wendy, how are you?
I'm good, Pete. How are you doing? Always nice to chat with you.
It's great to chat with you, and better late than never. I'm sorry for the techno mix-up. I'm sure it's something I did because I'm a techno spaz. But either way, it's great to have you, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. How you been?
I'm doing very well. I cannot tell you how excited I am to be talking about this film again. Because it's like 10 years old, but you're bringing it back to screen it at the Atwood Music Hall, this brand new, beautiful facility. It's July 9th. And we just had a texter who said, thanks for this Butch Vig info. I cannot wait to see it 1,000%. So without waiting any longer, let's jump in. Tell us about the Smart Studio story.
It's funny. It's a challenge to talk about the film this, 10 years later, because it has not been on my brain, right. As you can only imagine. But, bringing it back into a local community setting is just this beautiful experience that all these people are looking forward to now. This opportunity to go back and look at 28 years of encapsulated independent music history.
Wow.
That was made right here on the east side of Madison. And, I think when the studio closed and I started working on the film, I sort of knew that, we all knew that it was a really big deal, but to have the film as a keepsake for that time in our lives and to, for me, look at what does it represent now, the strength of independent music and independent voices is never more needed, So it's really very exciting to have it in this new independent music venue that's opened up in Madison.
Yeah, it's so great. And I was just talking with Matt Miller, a film critic, about how when you as a filmmaker, we were kind of lamenting that, Jurassic Park, most of the movies are terrible and they've got dinosaurs in their back pocket. Like, that's a great launching point. You can't mess that up. Did you feel pressure making this movie because you've got these two great music producers that you've worked with and contributed to and this great soundtrack? Was there pressure on you to make this movie knowing you had all this great material from the get-go?
I think that the pressure was crippling to make the film. because I knew that I could, and it took a while to do it. I felt like I understood all the components to be able to share the story, and I was serving the film first, right? And then I was serving Butch and Steve and just making sure that they felt like I had included everything that represented the history of the studio and their involvement and their launching of it. But then also it was the local scene and the bands and the trajectory of energy that started in such a lo-fi grassroots way. But with Smart Studios, it really was able to maintain that sort of grassroots power that was inherent in a lot of the music, in most of the music that went through there. They never really turned the corner and became something other than Smart Studios. That's a miracle.
That's so cool. For those of you that go to Madison frequently or live there, it was right at the corner of Baldwin and East Washington. And I remember when I interviewed you and Butch on PBS, you guys said it looks like a crack house. I wouldn't go that far, but it is a very unassuming building. And like I said, when I used to go to Madison in the 90s to work the comedy club there, I drove by it a million times. I had no idea the history that was taking place in this cool little building, and you were a part of it. That must have been incredible. Yeah.
It was, I think, out of the gate, when it was incredible for me. When I walked into Smart, and this was, when it was, it had not been remodeled, right? So this was still like the same live room that Gish did their recording in, or Killdozer, or Tar Babies. This was the place. It had not changed from its inception. I mean, this was the second iteration of the studio, because, of course, the first one was across the street in the Gish Alt building. But I knew it was special in this unassuming way. I also knew that it was really rich with individuals and creative energy that was, that was really behind the dedicated work that happened there. And I think that, it makes you wonder how many other things go on in buildings that are unassuming. I mean, you just can't imagine. I think it's a nice point of reference that you just don't know what's going on. But when you look at, the film is such a sort of train wreck of information from the second it starts till the time it ends. And that was the challenge, right? To throw 90 cuts of music at an audience with lots of people telling their story. but it was really a people-driven. It is a people-driven history.
I love the way you said that. Like, there's this little unassuming space, and it has a life. Like, all these mm-hmm. great memories are being made in there, and kind of music magic was being made there. It's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And that takes a lot of components. That's not just a building, right? That is, I mean, it all just is going to start with the source of that music. But I think that as facilitators and kind of mentors, I mean, Butch and Steve were never mentoring all of us engineers. They were just giving us all access to whatever they had. And so it was a really interesting kind of a undertone of collaboration, you know, with the whole scene in Madison. And it, you know, it really reflected also, you know, like radio and live music and record stores, like all of the components that kept the scene alive, all of which are still active.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Wendy Schneider's my guest. Her film, The Smart Studio Story, screens at the Atwood Music Hall, brand new Atwood Music Hall, Wednesday, July 9th. We're going to come back and have a couple more minutes with Wendy after this very short break. Do not leave, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Come on, answer me.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
In her life, a flattery of kindness. She wrote many books before death came upon her.
One of the most addicting songs that you cannot get out of your head. Welcome back to Nightlight. This is Peach Wabba. My guest is Wendy Schneider. She's probably familiar with that song. That was one of, did Steve and Butch produce Killdozer, or were they in the band, Wendy?
Oh, that's funny. The Killdozer called Butch the fourth member, but I wasn't sure what you were playing. I thought that you were playing like some kind of 70s like aircraft war movie, you know, and that would fit right into Killdozer. No, Butch was instrumental in executing not only their ideas, but just really offering, you know, his contribution to how that music was produced. And so he was integral to, you know, the making of those records. And of course, that 12-point buck story is that it, you know, found its way to Sub Pop. And and after hearing that, they began sending more bands to Butch and to the studio, because other engineers benefited as well. So, you know, pivotal band, but yeah.
That's the voice of Wendy Schneider. She is the director and creative force behind The Smart Studio Story, which screens Wednesday, July 9th at the brand new Atwood Music Hall. Wendy, you'll be there, I assume, doing a Q&A?
Yeah, Butch is going to be there as well. We're both doing the Q&A for this. It's going to be really fun to have both of us there. He's, you know, people love it when he's in Madison and when he's, you know, taking part in something that's going on locally. I want to shout out to Topher for really making the decision to include the film. You know, he you know, programmed this into the opening month of his venue. Nice. And I think that it just speaks to how he wants to launch the venue. And so the doors are at 7, the film's at 8. There's a couple vinyl records that I put out when the film was released that represent early and mid stages of music that came out of Smart Studios. So there'll be a merch table set up.
Nice.
Yeah, I just, I can't wait. Are you coming?
I will not be in Madison, unfortunately. I go down there like once or twice a month to do the show when I do PBS stuff or when Civic Media brings me down there. But I can't.
Yeah.
Sometimes the timing works out and it's great. But typically we broadcast from Green Bay. I know I got excited. I thought when you emailed me this week, I thought, oh, maybe she's in Green Bay and wants to come in.
Yeah, I always like being in the studio. It's super fun. But you're a
totally
joy to
agree.
Talk to on the phone. And
well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the film is it's very special. It's special to Madison and way beyond the musicians that contributed to the experience and the history. But it holds up.
You're
as
right.
My friend Jennifer would say, it really holds up. It's a fun film, and I can't wait for people to see it again or see it for the first time.
Where, if they can't make it to the screening, is it available to stream somewhere?
Yeah, you can go to the website.
Okay.
And that's just thesmartstudiostory.com. And I believe like it's a rental on Amazon or Vimeo.
Beautiful.
Yes, you can definitely watch the film.
You called you called Butch the fourth member of Killdozer. I thought, isn't Frank Anderson like the fifth member of every band that you've ever worked with?
Yeah. Frank Anderson is what a special force that
He's
has
so
contributed.
Great.
It's similar to, I want to add, like Chris Wagner and Mary Gaines. You know, they are still active musicians. They are just a tremendous force of folk energy and well beyond, you know, folk energy. But they were singing and playing on so many records that Butch was working on. So, you know, layers of Madison, you know, brilliance and beauty are really found in so many pockets of songs on vinyl and cassettes and CDs that that are really special, and you would never know it. You know,
right.
You just go in and do something. And Butch tells a story about going into the Friendly when he was working on records because he needed backup vocals, and he'd like invite a whole bunch of people at the bar over to the studio to sing. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So it was a time that it's not that the times are so different now, but it was simpler. The landscape was not, you know, beautifully littered with so many people recording music. You know, it was just, you went into Smart or you went to Sleepless Nights. I opened Coney Island. We were these, you know, anchor spaces for people to come in and make records.
That's so great. You, it is a Madison, a total Madison project. You've become totally Madison. Like you just mentioned, I was going to get a plug in for Coney Island too. You've got your own studio there now. I do have to say though, Wendy, I think I'm not a tech expert or a website expert, but I did go to your website today. You need a little help in the bio department, my friend. It says Wendy Schneider, independent musician and recording engineer living in the Midwest. Now that screams, I want to be found. Wendy, thank you so much.
Yes.
Good luck, everybody. Find tickets. Get to the Atwood Music Hall on Wednesday, July 9th. It's going to be a great night. Butch Vig will be there. Wendy Schneider will be there. And if you can't make it, check out the film. Go to the website. And it's an absolute must-see. A great Wisconsin film and a great Madison film and just a great film. So thank you,
Pete.
You're welcome.
Honored to be hanging out with you again.
It's
so
always,
I hope to speak with you soon.
It's a joy to talk to you, and let's connect in Madison next time in person.
Yes, please. You're always welcome at Coney Island.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Have a great weekend, Wendy. Thanks
soon.
So much.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks, Conrad, as well.
Will do. Conrad, she's thanking you as you're fading her out. So rude.
That's tough.
That was fun. Thank you to Wendy Schneider. I hope the screening goes great. I would love to be there. When I hosted a Q&A, I talked to them on PBS, but I also talked to them at the Q&A at the Barrymore, and he is so insightful. And Steve too, but I would say Butch is more front and center, but they're both so insightful when it comes to producing music, as is Wendy. Like she learned from two great guys. Great shows next week, folks. The guests, Tamara Dean, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Frank Hermans, Green Bay legend, will be here in studio on Wednesday, then Rob Thomas, Madison comic Johnny Beaner making the popcorn pick of the week next week, and of course, Terry Barr on Friday night. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you to Wendy Schneider. Thank you to Matt Miller. Thank you for all your texts. Do we get all the texts, Conrad?
Not all of them.
Tony the Trucker. Pete, Forrest Gump is an off-the-wall, in an off-the-wall kind of way. That's fantastic. Thank you, Tony the Trucker. And Tom from New Berlin says, ooze rock. I think we'll end it on that one. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabe saying good night, Wisconsin, and happy 4th.
I'll sing it to your best friend's house, Mama Lee.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.